direct. From Guano Productions headquarters in the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex. It's like honey in your ear holes.
Welcome back to The Superiority Complex. We had a false start. False start on the offense.
We're doing
5-yard penalty.
First down.
All right, guys. We're back. It's another show.
Who are Swing you? And a miss.
Yeah, who, we have. Hey, what's
it doesn't.
Your name?
It doesn't matter who I am.
What's your name?
Who are you?
You know, I just realized something. You never mentioned your name.
I never mentioned my name. And you know why? Because I'm not the important one here.
Is that right?
Please don't do the vessel analogy.
I am merely a vessel.
Now no one will know
for the greatness of this podcast.
No one knows. You have to talk about.
John Sandy is here, my co-host. Jake is back after
a
week.
You almost said Patrick. I saw you.
I did.
To say,
no, I'm still doing my pre-show vocal exercises. And I was going to give you the That's what that was.
Is your mouth sufficiently moistened?
Oh, my God.
It will be. Now, we have Aaron on the show. Aaron is back from last week.
Hot and spicy.
You did such a good job. Aaron, honestly, we got a lot of good feedback on your insight and your insight, Emma.
Really?
Jill, people didn't really have a lot to say about. I'm kidding.
But she had so much Game of Thrones knowledge.
Did she love it? Did she have a good time?
She absolutely loved it.
I could tell by the way she ignored me on Twitter. But
She told you she was on a hiatus.
She's on a hiatus, and she's not kidding.
She's not.
There's nothing happening over there.
Nope.
Although you and I have had some interaction on Twitter, and that's been fun.
Yeah.
So it's good to have you back on the Twitter. Now, Jake, you can follow at Handsome Dan Handsome.
Thank you.
I almost said Dansom.
Dansom.
I can go by Dansom. Dan Handsome.
And Emma, you can follow at Stupid Woman Suit.
Yeah.
You are at Bird Boy Cosplay. And that's everywhere, right? That's across all
social media platforms.
Yep. We got your Twitter.
Yep.
Your Facebook.
Yep.
Your
Instagram.
Instagram. Yep. Your Snapchat.
I don't have a Snapchat for
Craigslist.
For
what's the other one?
Casual Encounters, yes.
Casual Encounters, plentyoffish.com, Bird Boy Cosplay. Yeah.
Coffee and bagels.
John Sandy, we can find you wandering the streets with a newspaper.
That's right. You can find me at Levels every Friday shopping the used vinyl.
There you go. Oh, that's a great place to find you, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, I'm your host, Del Berrio. What's that? What's going on over there?
Oh, you know. Just
some snacks.
Just getting some snackies.
Are you going to crunch that right into the thing? Are you?
Oh, absolutely.
What do I have in my hand?
A battery.
This is a battery. How far away are you sitting from me?
Miles. Okay. Miles and miles.
Is that worse than crosstalk? Eating on mic?
Is the worst thing you can do. That's the worst.
Maybe you should practice what you preach, though.
That's the worst. That's okay when I do.
Uh-huh.
How about when Tawny does the – I love it when
she – Oh, the seeds?
The pistachio or the
– People could see the eye contact seeds that I made with Mario as I was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Eye contact.
There's tension.
Back to the moistened mouth.
Oh, my God.
The moistened mouth conundrum. Is that what we're calling that? The MMC?
So what did you end up naming your fantasy football team?
Yeah.
It doesn't have a name yet, but Dothraki Screamers is number one.
Uh-huh.
I did draft Andrew Luck, who is going to be out for the first couple weeks of the season. So I'm thinking of naming it Just My Luck.
That's good. That's good.
Because that's what happened to me. But even more importantly, guys, we had a poll last week. We put it on Twitter. I don't know if you saw it.
See
the pizza one?
I put it on Twitter. Pineapple on pizza is a delight or B a travesty. With 62%, which in my opinion is a landslide. 62% of the people said pineapple on pizza is a delight.
Thank you.
That's not exactly a landslide.
Yeah.
62.
That's pretty even.
62
is
almost half.
If I have $62 and you have $38, that's not even.
Even enough.
I can pay for
things
parking.
I'll buy you that pineapple pizza for you.
Do you like
extra?
Do you like pineapple on pizza?
I do.
Yeah. See, why are you disagreeing with me?
Because it's.
I forgot who was on my team with that.
Yeah,
Emma.
Was it Jill or was it you?
It's me. Okay. Jill was the in between.
Let's just vote real quick here. How many would
eat
pineapple on their pizza? Raise your hand. Oh, there's one for me. There's one for Aaron. Oh, and there's Jake. Oh yeah, we win. here in the studio.
That magic sign just voted for no pineapple.
Yeah.
Here in the
and
studio,
Captain
that's
Marvel has her hand up. She doesn't
60%.
Want it.
60%.
Do you know why?
Wonder Woman has her hand up.
Yeah, she really
Let's
does
see,
have her hand
who
up.
Who else? The Phoenix has her hand
and,
up.
And Mike Pence.
Batman kind of has
Jordan
his
has
hand
his
out.
Hand up.
I'm about to have my middle finger up because the people have spoken.
People
and
are wrong.
As the great Ray Davies says, we give the people what they want.
Okay, but the
worst
people
pineapple on pizza.
The people have also spoken for who they wanted president, and they're wrong too.
No,
so
no,
people
the,
can
no,
be wrong.
The people actually,
were right. Yeah, yeah.
People wanted Hillary.
The people
actually
were right. And the system that was supposed to safeguard us against the idiot that got elected actually worked against us. Mm-hmm. It's one of those ironic, you know, like, oh, we've created this Frankenstein monster, and now he's loose, drowning people.
Then it becomes just a game. It's like, oh, I only need these people to win.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Speaking of, not that I want to talk about him for long, did you see him in Texas?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my God. He went down to visit, and this dude was like, oh, I can't wait until Trump calls out to the crowd that went to see him and was like, oh, what a great crowd of the victims that he had to go see. And the next day, he's standing in front of a crowd. He's like, what a lovely turnout. What a lovely crowd to come see me. Like, they have
really?
To be there. Yeah, for real.
He was actually
praising
in,
the crowd to go see him when they had to be there to be safe.
He was actually, and I'm not defending him, but he was actually in Corpus Christi.
Oh, that's right.
He was in Corpus Christi, so he wasn't in any of the areas. But still, what a weird thing to say.
Right?
It does not, and it's also, his Twitter was like, going to see the flood damage today. Exciting. That's what his Twitter, said.
Yeah.
Because it's all about him.
It's
not about people that lost their homes. It's all about him.
All about
and
him.
Let's do a quick aside. I want to give a quick shout out to two of our podcast friends. We've been doing this lately. There are two podcasts who are actually in the middle of the tropical storm Harvey. They do their podcast from Texas.
Really?
One is called the Cult 45 podcast, which is awesome. I just listened to their episode on – they did a George A. Romero tribute, and they watched Dawn of the Dead, 1978 Dawn of the Dead, which, by the way, first movie I ever rented on my VCR that I earned with my own money was Dawn of the Dead. Thank you very much. Way back in 1988. One of the all-time great zombie movies. Check it out if you haven't. But shout out to Cult 45. That was a great episode, but I know – they aren't going to put an episode out this week because of everything that's going on down there. And I actually have not heard how they're doing. I hope they are doing well. And then another podcast down there, we mentioned them in our shout-outs last week, the Nerdy Bitches podcast. That's Liz and Heather. And one, they live in different parts of Houston, but they actually have power. And they've been able to give us a couple of updates through the storm. So if you go to – if you find them, you can find them on Twitter and on Facebook everywhere, Nerdy Bitches Podcast. They are actually updating us as the storm happens and what it's like on the ground. And one of the girls, Liz, I've had a few chats with, and she actually has relatives who've lost everything. Houses flooded, cars flooded. She sent us a picture of her cousin who had an inflatable raft in the living room ready to go and was sleeping in the living room.
Wow.
So she could get her pets out.
Jeez.
Just in case. And they ended up getting flooded out, I think. So, you know,
wow.
Sending out those positive vibes. And I know a lot of people are a little, you know, there's been a lot of tales told about how little of the aid that the Red Cross offers actually gets to, how little of the money actually gets to the mm-hmm. people on the ground. But if you're nervous about it, find a charity that you know will do some work down there. And donate money, because I've been reading, you know, the reports, and this is going to be something that their infrastructure is going to be damaged for months, if not years to come.
Yeah.
Because a lot like Los Angeles, Houston, they spread out over a huge area, and they now have developed on all of this land that would normally absorb a lot of the rain that's coming down now. And the storm just basically stalled out over Houston, and it's just dumping. I think they're going to get a year's worth of rain in a week.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah. And so most of that drains out into these bayous, which in turn drain out into the Gulf. But the Gulf is – there's nowhere for the water to go because the storm is sitting out in the Gulf. And because of this – apparently there's a thing called – climate change, which, you know, we've seen no evidence of that. So, you know.
Harvey.
Yeah. But, you know.
Harvey.
But, you know, hey, you know, honestly, so give those guys some support if you can. And there's actually if you go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/soupcomplex, I do have a GoFundMe up that I reposted from Liz and her husband. They were already having kind of a tough year. before all of this happened. So if you can donate anything to help out, and if you use the GoFundMe, obviously, this is going to go to help. So this is just, these are friends of ours, but help anybody you can, if you can, and any little bit helps, you know. If you can donate clothes, do that, whatever you can
do. Yeah, I was going to say, you can search on Red Cross, I think it's blood.org. Mm-hmm. I put the link up on my Twitter. I made an appointment to donate blood. If you can't afford to send money, like most children, and you want to help, you can always donate blood. You put in your zip code, and it shows you the nearest donation places around you. Like, I made an appointment Friday. I'm going to donate as much as they'll let me, and it'll go. It'll go help.
Yeah, whatever we can do to help.
Yeah, anything you can do, you can always.
So search. You know, give them that. Give them that superiority complex bump. Show them how we do things around here. But yeah, shout out to the Nerdy Bitches and the Cult 45, and two great podcasts to listen to. I've got a chance to catch up and just listen to the regular episode of the Nerdy Bitches. He said, trying not to sound like a misogynist. And I've also listened to a few episodes of the Cult 45 podcast, so they're fun to listen to too. So give them a listen. On my way in here, John, you said you went to. We're going to shift gears for a second. You got a Snapple that you said was not very cold.
That's always the worst.
Nice segue from Texas going underwater to, gee, you didn't get a cold tank.
Yeah, no, but I was going to tell you, I went in today. I went to my local 7-Eleven where I bought this delicious smart water from the Glacio company, which I'm about to enjoy.
Hey, John, can I have the cap to your Snapple?
Taste those electrolytes.
I wouldn't do that. There you go.
Now is your mouth moist?
My mouth is sufficiently moist.
So what do you get?
For what I'm about to say.
The fact,
you go smart water.
The fact on John Snapple.
Oh, wait a second. I wasn't talking. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Let's bring the show to a screeching halt. If someone out there could edit in some the brake noise of a car, like in the cartoon. Yeah.
You were drinking your water. John handed me.
I was literally, he was asking me if my mouth was moist, and then I said yes.
I wanted to stop that conversation as soon as possible.
So what is the fact on, please, pray tell, Emma, this is your last appearance, sadly.
Think carefully.
It says corn always has an even number of rows on each ear.
I thought you were going to say the word moist goes back to the ancient Greeks.
Does Bo Derek have an equal number, even number of corn rows on her head?
Couldn't tell you that one.
Bo Derek.
That's a little fun fact about corn.
And Bo Derek.
And I don't even remember. Oh, so anyway, what I was going to say was.
Your smart water.
My smart water. We never know who's listening. One of these could be a sponsor.
It's true.
How are you enjoying your Pepperidge Farm?
Brussels.
They're
my favorite Pepperidge Farm.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, but kudos to 7-Eleven.
Also, these Nabisco Good Things.
Yeah. Oh, those are great because there's less than one carb per snack cracker. I can enjoy those as a diabetic. So here's my whole point was, I go in there and my friend told me, hey, guess what 7-Eleven has? Sugar-free Slurpees. And I was like, no way. So I go in there today, sure enough, sugar-free Slurpees. Wow. Now let me tell you, you talk about a guy like Trump knowing his base, right? Pardon Sheriff Joe, right? Who's my base? People that hate Mexicans. Who should I pardon? The sheriff who made a name for himself hating Mexicans, right? The racial profiler. Let's free that guy. All right, cool. Okay, knows his base. 7-Eleven knows their base. What do you think the flavor of the sugar-free Slurpee was? I'll give everyone one guess.
Cherry.
No.
Coca-Cola?
No.
Strawberry?
Nope.
White cherry?
Nope.
Blueberry?
Nope.
Nothing.
Everybody gets one guess. John hasn't guessed yet.
Everybody gets one.
Horchata.
You are, John.
Are you serious?
It's not horchata.
Oh.
I'm saying it like a white person.
Oh, is it Jarritos?
No.
What is it?
Chili mango.
What?
Chili mango.
That's the only sugar-free.
You know how you get mango with chili on it? And you guys are all making faces. The Mexican guy who's got two thumbs and loves the chili mango Slurpee. This guy. I'm not kidding. I was like, kudos to you, 7-Eleven. Who gets diabetes earlier than anybody else? Mexicans! What do they probably... It's hot. The Mexicans, you know, we're out gardening. We're out picking your fruit. We're doing all the stuff that Mexicans do. Right? Okay? We're contributing to the economy. Right?
Yes.
We're helping make California one of the strongest economies in the nation. What do we want? We want something chilly. We want something hot and sweet. But cold at the same time, delicious. delicious. Kudos to you, 7-Eleven. I'll never eat your hot dogs and the little rollers, but I will enjoy another sugar-free chili mango Slurpee in the near future.
So somebody did their research.
Oh, yeah. They're like, let's see these Mexicans. They seem to get that.
They had a flowchart.
Wait, did Bring Your Own Cup Day already happen?
Bring Your Own Cup Day.
I think it's...
Is there a Bring Your Own Cup Day?
It's like a Bring Your Own Cup for Slurpee Day, and you can bring, like, KFC-size, like, buckets of chicken and, like, fill it and...
Ooh, with a grease?
You can have it, yeah.
Mix it with the chicken grease?
Was delicious.
Last year, I brought this giant goblet, and I filled it up, mm-hmm. and
like a Lord of the Rings goblet? Yeah. That's awesome.
I just roll in a trash can.
I'd literally get an inflatable swimming pool.
I've seen someone do that. I saw a couple pictures from last year. There was, like, someone brought, like, a rice cooker. Someone brought, like, a swimming pool, and someone brought, like, a cooler.
Somebody brought a swimming pool.
I'm like, what are you going to do with that much Slurpee? You're not going to drink it all. Slurp you're just it. Trying to, you know.
Trying to be a wise guy.
Listen, if you're putting Slurpee in a swimming pool, your intentions are not good. Like,
that's true.
You're not going to drink it, that's for
it's
sure.
It's the new age, like, mud fights. It's just, it's not good.
Mm. I wrote.
Or it's very good.
I wrote a note here. I have no idea what it means.
This is no cross talk.
What does it say?
This is my eyes. Oh, because I went to the because my eyes are better now. I was going to say I went to the eye doctor today and they dilated my pupils. And by the way, Dilated Peoples, great hip hop group. Check them out. They are my god, so good. Dilated Peoples.
Peoples,
get it? Dilated Peoples,
like REM. It's an eye joke. Wow.
What? I'm sorry. What? Oh, I made a promise to Eric of Aragorn that I would check out Pearl Jam. Because he's a huge Pearl Jam fan. How does everybody feel about Pearl Jam in here?
Can't get excited about
him. I'm pretty indifferent.
All right, yeah.
It's like
Eric's heart is breaking right now. Sorry, Eric.
Like, I've listened to their songs, but I don't see them.
I know. Why are you, why
are
you looking at him and saying Eric?
No. Eric, who's listening.
He's
the listener who likes Pearl Jam.
Oh, I see. I don't know.
Oh, did you make a Pearl Jam joke last episode? Is that what happened?
Yeah, he kept knocking them down.
I always say Pearl Jam takes the fall for everybody else who's because all these other crappy bands that try to sound like Eddie Vedder.
Right.
But then I listened to part of 10 and I got to Alive and then I was like, okay, that's enough for today. I listened I got through three songs and you know, we're working our way through.
It's like if you don't dig his voice, that's the end of the game.
There's something, and Eric brought up a good point. You know, he said, you know, grunge was kind of a name that was tagged on by the media, and it's not the name that turns me off. The name, I mean, you know, gangster rap sounds like and it's like that sounds great. I'll listen to that. I don't care what it sounds like. But and he brought up a good point. He said, you know, it's also called grunge because it's kind of downer. It's very downer music, and I think that's what it is for me. I think that's why I have a hard time with Pearl Jam because it is kind of downer music. And I, you know, when I listen to music, I don't listen to music to. And I know some people do.
Right.
That's why the Smiths and Morrissey are still around.
That's why he can fill the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah, because in a row. Yeah. But I'm just not a person. I go the opposite direction when I want music to kind of lift me out.
Yeah.
I know some people want like an accompaniment to that to you know they have pain or something. And I think for a lot of people like Pearl Jam captures that angst they had at that time, you know, and I just think it doesn't for me. It just never. But I'm listening to it. I'm getting through it. I will do it, and I promise I would listen to it. I just didn't get a chance this week.
Well, I always felt that they were out of all those bands, that was the one that was the least interesting to me. I love Nirvana, Soundgarden, a lot of those bands that came out at the same time.
Temple Pilots.
I just always thought the Pearl Jam was kind of boring, you know.
Temple of the Dog.
Yeah, that was like a one shot. But yeah.
Mudhoney.
Mudhoney's really cool, yeah. And they were like around the longest. That's the funny thing about them. They were kind of around before any of those guys, I think.
Plimsolls. Just kidding.
Dave Clark 5.
Eric, I'm getting through it. I promise you, man. I promise I would listen. And
you know what you should do is check out Vitology. That's one that's kind of interesting. I mean, that's just my opinion. But I mean, that's the one that kind of got my attention. It's like the third or fourth one.
Okay. When somebody challenges me, I challenge accepted.
I mean, they played some. It's one of those things too. They played certain ones on the radio so much.
That's what did it for me too.
I mean, it's kind of what I think happened to you with the Beatles. They play the same four tunes every day ad nauseum, and you go, "Ugh."
It's really funny because that's what friend of the show Martin and I were talking, and he said, "You know,
that's what it is."
Because he was listening, and he goes, "I like the Kinks, but to me, their songs just aren't as memorable as the Beatles."
Because he's only heard Lola. And
well, no, I think he's given it more than a.
Since he met us, probably he's given it more. But they only play three Kinks songs.
But I said a big big part of me is I just, the Beatles bore me because it's those five songs.
Yeah.
It's love, and it's not necessarily their best stuff.
No.
It's Love Me Do, and it's like, okay. Yeah. I could never hear Love Me Do again.
You never have to hear those hits again because you've already heard them a billion times. Yeah.
Yeah, but that, you know. Shout out to Eric, and you know we're still listening, man. And now Eric, I have beef because Eric said he, out of the British Invasion bands, the Kinks are the least interesting to him. We kind of have.
So what has he heard?
Oh, he loves everything though. He loves the Beatles. He's a huge Beatles fan.
And he thought the Kinks were the least interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or he likes them the least. I don't want to put words in his mouth. I think he might have said he likes them the least out of them.
Wow.
I think so. I don't know. You know, hey, I don't get mad at me.
No.
Like there's a kink in that friendship.
You know, you know me. I don't get mad. I always think like, what has he heard? Has he heard Arthur?
Because you want everybody. What I love about you, John, is you want everybody to love everything equally. Yeah, you want people to love the Beatles as much as they love the Kinks, as much as they love the Stones. That's what I like about you. Where I'm more of like, you have to like this.
Where you have to pick.
This better be better.
I know people like that. You have to pick. Or Stones. There are people like that.
No, I don't.
That's crazy.
You have to pick.
Yeah,
like,
Stones.
What is this, 1965? You must pick. What camp are you in?
It's Stones, by the way.
It's Freddie and the Dreamers.
Well, let's look at the kids are bored. They're passing around crackers.
You know why? Because we're going, Stones, Freddie and the Dreamers. They're like,
yeah, and they want to talk about the new Taylor Swift song.
Yeah.
No, oh, dude. Can we not?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say we don't. There's nothing to talk about, but I will say as a Taylor Swift fan, it's not the best song out of her whole discography, but it's a very creative music video and a creative theme and, you know.
Idea.
But nothing else to speak for.
Yeah.
That's like getting the Oscar for best production design. It's like, wow, it looks great, but there's, you know, really not.
The name of the song is Stop Grabbing My Ass or I'll Sue You.
Is that the name of the song?
And win.
Essentially.
She won.
She did.
A dollar, which is like good for her.
Well, it was not about the monetization. It was about the principle.
That's why I liked that she only sued for a dollar, because she was like, I don't care about money. I have my own. I just want people to realize you cannot keep doing this.
Right.
And I like where the guy's like, I was touching her rib, and then you see the.
You see his hand like all the way down? Yeah, no.
Now listen, I'm not.
She got a lot of ribs.
I'm not anti.
She got a fifth rib.
Good for her. Honestly, like, hey, good for you, little lady.
Yeah.
Pat, you know, like, no, that is not a way. But I mean, it's great. But at the same time, as an artist, just does nothing for it. It's like I'm like in such a weird place because I'm like, good for you, right?
Care.
Good for
but
you
I
for
don't care,
for not letting somebody. And then, but at the same time, it's like but your music and everything. I'm just like,
yeah, no, I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
It's just she's such a. Why am I talking about?
We're not the target audience.
I think that's
not the target audience for Taylor Swift.
I think your feeling for Taylor Swift is the same feeling I have for Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
The fact that we can muster any feelings at all about Justin Bieber is amazing.
Like,
that's amazing. That amazes me. Good for you for being able to at least muster like.
Just
I will say his new stuff is way better than his older stuff, though.
True.
He was like 12.
Yeah.
Which it should be because he's
most.
That was like the Mickey Mouse Club, right?
So would you have been
pretty much?
Would you have been more happy if Justin Bieber had done a Game of Thrones cameo rather than Ed Sheeran?
I would have wanted him to see like being brutally murdered.
Yeah,
that'd be good
and be one of the White Walkers.
Yeah, be one of the White Walkers.
Yeah, so.
Where did he go? By the way,
Ed Sheeran.
Where the fuck is he?
I think that was just it because I watched like HBO release like,
that literally 13
minute video.
Yeah, she just met with some soul.
It was really just to show Arya that like these are people too. Like they're literally just soldiers.
He
and
probably
they don't...
died.
Ed Sheeran's people too.
They were Cersei's soldiers.
Yeah, because they were Lannister soldiers.
And they don't care about Cersei. Yeah.
No, they don't.
I'll bet you they were at the
at the loot train.
They were at the loot train. So just imagine one of those guys doing the man on fire walk is Ed Sheeran.
There you
How does that
go.
Make you feel?
So then he starts singing the song from Desolation of Smaug.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God. Nerds. You nerds. I'm kidding. Of course, we're all nerds here. And we're here to talk about the season finale of Game of Thrones.
Woo, baby. That was a good one.
What we're going to do something unprecedented because we really haven't talked about anything yet.
No. Okay.
Let's take a quick break because last week we didn't.
Yeah.
And we talked about it for an hour. So, and this is a longer episode.
This is
did
going
you get complaints?
I don't. No, no, no. We didn't. Zero. I don't think we're going to get into it as deeply because less happened as far as this season. I mean, a lot of stuff happened, but I think last week was there was so much going
so,
on.
Yeah.
This one, there's just a few big.
Yeah, there was a few big tent poles.
Is a very plot point to plot point.
Well, there was there was a tent pole.
Oh, I had a tent pole after.
Mm-hmm. I think they were playing Hide the Dragon.
Oh no, that's not what I'm talking about.
Really?
There was a scene this season that satisfied me on the most visceral level.
And it wasn't Hide the Dragon.
No.
I'm trying to.
Oh, I have a feeling I know it.
Yeah, you know what it is.
Dang I
it.
Think if you don't know, then
you know because we've talked about it so often on this show.
Oh, wait. Is that what we talked about last week?
And the fact that he got to say it, and I've uttered this phrase so many times on the show when we do our recaps, the fact that he got to say Sansa one last time right
yeah.
before.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Okay,
we'll be right back.
Hey, do you like movies?
Hey, do you like podcasts?
If you do, then come on down and listen to the Home Video Hustle podcast, homie.
Hustle, hustle.
Every Friday, we talk about whatever movie PJ picks out the bag. What does that mean? Well, every Wednesday on our YouTube page, I pick a bunch of movies at random. Sometimes there's a theme to it, sometimes not. PJ picks the movie out, and guess what? We watch it on Friday. We talk about it for about maybe an hour, hour and a half, whatever we feel like doing. Might give you something good to watch, baby. Come on down every Friday.
So come get your hustle on with Home Video Hustle.
You can find the show on any podcatcher app, or you can come down to homevideohustle.podbean.com, all of them in one place for you, so you can go ahead and binge it like it's Netflix. We ain't the defenders, but I like to think we a little bit better than that. Come holler at your boys, man. Come chill with us. Peace.
Peace.
Okay, guys, we're back. It's time for Game of Thrones talk. This episode, yes. Episode 7, Season 7, Episode 7, the last episode, season finale, 80 minutes long.
HBO After Dark.
Glorious HBO After minutes. Dark. Glorious 80 minutes called The Dragon. The Wolf and the Dragon or The Dragon and the Wolf?
The Dragon and the Wolf.
Oh.
The Wolf and the Dragon. Perfect.
Peter and the Wolf?
Yeah.
And then came the White Walker.
There's a Disney short, right?
There is a Disney short. And there's also, if you ever get a chance, Google it. There's in the 60s, Sean Connery recorded an album, I think with the London Philharmonic, where he is telling the story of Peter and the Wolf.
Because there's a 70s one with David Bowie.
Ah.
Yeah.
Man.
Watch that one.
So everybody's done it.
I believe there's an 80s version with David Lee Roth.
Wow! And then came the wolf.
Yeah.
Whoa! Yeah!
Whoa, yeah! Uh-huh!
Speaking of Peter and the wolf.
Yes, yes.
That Peter Baelish scene.
Yeah.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
He likes to go in order. Be careful. Let's Mario likes
that.
To go
build
in
up
order.
To that
well, but you know why? Because that way we don't miss anything, you know? And it's, you know, I'm a stickler for that kind of thing.
Can that scene just
was
be called Peter and
you?
The Wolves?
Hiddish did not yell at me, but he thought it was
for last week's?
No, he thought it was great that we went into such a detail. I think he
did
felt.
Did we get better?
He
does
felt
he have
honored.
A today?
It's like, how, listen, it? You don't worry about what Hiddish thinks. You worry about what I think.
Oh, what did Hiddish say?
Oh, he had all. Look at this.
He said, no more. Let me show you.
You kids at home can't see it.
Oh, God.
These are the notes for this week's episode.
That's a lot.
From Hiddish Patel.
Well, he's really into it, isn't he?
Can you do a dramatic reading of this?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I can't do Hiddish's voice.
Read it as Sean Connery.
Don't
read it
be Sean really okay. dramatic.
Read it as Christopher Walken.
I was waiting for Melisandre. Oh, wait, hold on. Oh, here it is. Oh, no, this goes even farther.
Melisandre.
That's like the one character we didn't get.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Christopher Walken.
She hasn't came back from Valyria.
No, she's with Danny.
It started out by... What happened?
Didn't Melisandre leave?
No, she stayed with Danny. She told Varys, like, this is the place I have to be to die or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, but she...
No, she was leaving and was coming
she
back.
Left. Yeah, she left.
I thought she stayed because
she
John
split,
was there.
Man.
If you're
she
not going to pay attention...
Listen, a lot has happened.
Listen, you.
Now Hiddish is going to say...
Yeah, Hiddish is already mad.
He's going to say
his
some
stuff. His cackles are already up. So he started out with, Baelish got his comeuppance. And then he said, let's see.
Sean Connery should do the audiobook. Sorry.
And then he said, Winter is here. The dragon and wolf. Is that referring to John and Danny or Rhaegar and Lyanna? So many reunions. And then he named them all. And then... And then he said, nice to see Tyrion is well respected by everyone, except Cersei.
I think she showed way more respect in this episode than she has him. The entire yeah. series.
Yeah. She showed restraint by not killing him, yeah. Two brothers, she just couldn't bring herself to kill either one
yeah.
of them.
Yeah.
There's two of them.
I'm not going to lie. I hate Cersei, but man, those were some of the best scenes. Like, yeah. She kept it together.
And he kind of, I thought that was amazing. Where he's all, they have this whole conversation. He's all, oh my God, you're pregnant.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Which I don't believe, but that's me.
She might have, you're not the only person to think that.
I think she was just using Jamie.
Well, that didn't work because off he goes.
I'm so glad he finally left.
Well, if you saw her walking to the dragon pit, she does have a baby bump.
Does she?
Yeah.
Okay. Does she?
Unless she's been.
Was it a pillow? A pillow.
Either she was pushing her stomach out.
Yeah, maybe. I was gonna say if it does end up being fake, then like, kudos to her for either like for feasting hardcore or maybe stuffing it.
Maybe the actress is actually pregnant, and so they wove it into the fact that she's pregnant.
Oh, geez.
To make it legit.
I thought her prophecy, because like they talked about it seasons ago when the witch, and the witch was like, "You're gonna have three children."
But she had one already that died at birth, right? Before
mm-hmm. one with Robert.
It was a brunette, so it must have been the only child that was Robert's, right?
Yeah.
Died at birth.
But it died at birth, I believe.
So
and
that
then
puts her at four kids.
Hiddish is shaking his head furiously. I'm just imagining what's going on. I don't know.
Because he said, call them by their names and don't cross
me. Do not cross me.
Don't cross talk and call them by their
real names.
Keep talking
because I'm trying to find something here that I want to do.
So the prophecy,
I think she was supposed to have three blonde children, which was supposed to be Jamie's kids, and then they wouldn't survive.
Right.
And I thought after that she couldn't have kids, or like her prophecy was like she'll die before she has another kid.
Somebody was recapping those prophecies.
I can't remember,
I should have looked back on that. I vaguely remember that whole prophecy. All I'm like really thinking about that prophecy is the Valonqar, and just I'm really set on it being Jaime, but yes. I'm still not.
Refresh our memories. The Valonqar is
So in the prophecy, the Valonqar is one of her brothers is going to
end her.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Her little brother.
That's right. Which
her little brother.
And Jamie is supposed to be a minute younger than her.
Yeah, so she's
they're
the
twins,
so,
right?
So Cersei's under the impression that the little brother is Tyrion.
Oh, okay.
But
I want it.
Little brother, you know, it prophecies are kind of vague. But little brother, obviously, Jamie's younger by like a minute or so. So
but little could refer
and that's,
to.
And I believe at this point, with Jamie's last scene in this episode, his character arc is way towards that track.
Which direction is he riding in? They were saying,
I think he's going north to be with John.
Did he turn before the camera cut away?
No.
He's going to warn John that
I think he's going to be with John to help him out and be like,
warn him, your armies are not coming.
Yeah, I've cut and run from Cersei. I'm here to help you. And I think the actor said he wants to apologize to Bran and be like, I'm sorry I did all this to you. But, like, really, if he didn't do that to Bran wouldn't be the Three-Eyed Raven. So. But I always thought Jaime was going to kill her this season.
I thought so, too.
With the way season 6 ended, when he came back and he finds out, like, Marcella or Tommen threw himself out the window, the look on his face, I always thought it was going to be this season. He was going to be like, you killed our children. I'm going to end you. Which sucks.
I don't think he cares about the children.
Oh, I think
he does.
Oh, he absolutely does.
Even Tyrion cared.
Cersei cared about the children.
He goes to get the daughter back.
Tyrion cared about him. Yeah. Jaime cared about him. I don't think Cersei.
I never got the impression that Jaime cared a lot.
Didn't think about him much.
I think because he had to put it in his head that he's the uncle, and he had to force himself to play the uncle and not the father.
He couldn't reveal it to anybody except Cersei that he was the dad.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's weird.
It's when he went to save the daughter, it seemed like that was the first moment where he's thinking, oh,
yeah.
This is my daughter. And that was a pretty short reunion, you know?
Yeah, no kidding.
So which direction is Jaime riding in? Is he riding?
Oh, he's riding
north.
I think he's riding north. Yeah.
He's riding north because he has to be.
He's keeping an oath. He's
got to warn them.
And Arya has to kill him
to
become Jaime so she can fulfill the prophecy of killing him.
What?
That's my theory, that Arya is going to take his form. She's going to kill him.
Because
he's on the list.
Right.
Jaime Lannister's on the list.
Right.
Okay.
Is he not?
I'm going to look it up.
Who's got the list?
Cersei.
I'll look it up.
People kept thinking
Cersei,
that,
the Hound.
The Mountain. I don't think the Hound's on it anymore.
Oh, how about that Anakin Skywalker that old Anakin Skywalker cameo as the Mountain? You see his eyes. He looks like old Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah.
That's right. That when he takes the helmet off, yeah, that's kind of the way those eyes look.
I like what Sandor said. He's like, now you look fucking uglier than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love it.
So the list goes as follows: the Hound, Cersei, the Mountain, the Red Woman, Beric, because he sold Gendry.
Oh, she's Melisandre's on her list.
Mm-hmm. Ilyn Payne. But I think he died.
Oh, Sir Ilyn Payne, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Walder Frey, which she killed. Joffrey, who is dead. Yep. Tywin, which is dead. Thoris, because he sold Gendry.
Well, Thoris is dead now.
Meryn Trant, who's dead because he's on the list because he killed Syrio. Polliver, who's dead.
Oh, maybe she's not going to kill Jaime.
Rorge, who's dead. And that's it.
There goes my theory.
Okay.
Or maybe she's going to kill Jaime to get to Cersei to kill
That's what I keep hearing people say. She'll put on Jaime's face and then get real close to Cersei.
Martin Landau.
Well, if...
Yeah, those faces in the satchel were
Keep talking.
Well, if Jaime meets with Jon and Jon vouches for Jaime, Arya will accept it because Arya trusts Jon probably more than anyone else. Who else? Melisandre's like prophecy, or that she knows she's gonna die in Westeros. She probably already knows that.
Arya's gonna be the one to do it.
Yeah. Also, Tormund and Beric. Where are they?
Alive.
They're alive.
Yeah, somebody said they're alive. They worked on the side of the wall that went down.
I saw that.
Surprise, Game of Thrones fans. You're all Godzilla fans. Ha ha! Yeah. Gotcha! All you guys that make fun of me for liking Godzilla movies, you love it now, don't you? Oh, blue flame. Blue flame coming out of the lizard. Oh, you guys love it now. Oh, look at that wall.
Say it. God damn it, you love Godzilla.
You love Godzilla.
You want to make a career of it.
So, back to Hiddish's question from last week. We still don't know if it's hot
or
fire.
Or it's cold. Yeah. Or
it's hot because
it disintegrated. It was melting in the wall.
It's a giant laser.
Is it like Freon? Or
lasers are hot. Like ice.
Yeah.
And just breaking it from
no,
the inside.
No, it vaporized it.
Lasers are hot.
It vaporized.
I thought he cracked it and then found
no, because there was no it. Like it was it vaporized
so
the wall.
So coming out breaking blue, it's like a blue flame.
Yeah. Is it? Does it follow like actual fire science? Is it hotter than the?
In theory.
Well, they are saying that it probably it, like the mortal dragons or the regular dragons probably will not be able to defeat it because it.
So ice dragons are its final form.
But wait a minute, can't you? You can burn them just like you can burn a white.
You
right?
can, but it can. It's far more powerful than
so it could get them first.
Yeah,
yeah. Interesting.
It's basically Godzilla. Night King has Godzilla.
The dragon's roar is so good.
Oh, it's so good. It's always.
I like the holes in the wings.
Like that hype is like.
I was just gonna say it cannot fly with Swiss cheese wings.
Yes,
it's, well, it's
no,
got
it can't. It
you know why?
Because
it's a dragon.
It's magic.
That's a small hole
know,
and a big wing.
There's no lift.
I know, but still,
well, technically it's a wyvern, but still. Thank you.
There's no lift.
Why not?
There's no because there's holes in his.
You're saying that one hole in the...
He had Swiss cheese wings.
You're asking for realism from
also,
a mythical
yes,
beast that breathes
about,
fire.
I don't know how many weeks it's been since Viserion died.
Viserion?
Viserion?
Is it Viserion?
No,
that's
it's
a Pokemon.
Viserion.
Viserion is a Pokemon.
Oh. Viserion.
Viserion, yeah. That's exactly what I said.
But his wings have decomposed that much already?
Right? Yeah. It doesn't make sense.
It was to make a point that he's dead. I was looking at it going, this is to make a point. This is a dead dragon.
It's also
that
he's corrupt. I think it corrupts the body. Yeah. It corrupts the, you know, the body and corrupts the soul is gone. And I think that's the evil of the,
you know what I think?
The evil dead.
I think that season 8 being a 7-episode
or is it
season.
Six?
It's six.
I heard it was seven.
I think it's going
to
be six,
I think
but longer episodes.
They knocked it down to six, but they're like hour-long episodes, yeah.
I would probably enjoy some filler, get some more lore, Children of the Forest, White Walker type stuff.
6 episodes, I don't know if you're going to get that.
You're not going to be able to put filler in 6 episodes.
I'm saying that if you, all your main plot points are within 6 episodes, couldn't they – because – there's a lot of supplementary material out there already,
right?
Mm-hmm. That George R. R. Martin has written.
Right.
That why couldn't they adapt some filler episodes?
Or I mean, they're
why would you want to?
They're talking about sequels. They're not sequels. They're going to do spin-offs, right? Like maybe 4 spin-offs.
Yeah. I feel like you don't need to do that now at this late in the game.
Every minute has got to be spent.
It's the same reason, even as much as it bothered me, and I know now there's backlash against people complaining about the fact that they compressed the time because. Of course, because it's the internet.
On the backlash?
Yeah, but I think that's what.
Backlash.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be time for that kind of filler, man.
Well, I mean, I already know. They already announced that there's. I mean,
what do you want to know?
It's going to be.
What do you want to know?
I want to.
They've already announced what?
Do you think they're going to talk more about the White Walkers and
their possible origins?
Yeah.
Oh, because it's mostly going to be about the White Walkers now.
Well, there's this is a huge spoiler, so if you don't like spoiler theories, there are a theory, I guess it's been hinted at in the books, that the original White Walker was a Stark.
It could have been Bran.
Really?
It was a Stark. So that's why there's those theories that Bran is the Night King.
Yeah.
Because they have, remember we, Hades brought it up in the book, they have the same power.
Right.
It's called the Green Seer.
He's a Green Seer.
Green Seer. They see, yeah.
Okay.
So originally the Children of the Forest did not want, the First Men and the Children of the Forest were enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And so they made the White.
And so they made the White Walkers to fight the First Men. And then in a very Trump turn of events, their creation went crazy. So they had to band together to fight
the White Walkers.
Okay. They lost control of the White Walkers. But the first one they killed, the First Men were the Starks. The Starks are like ancestors of the First Men who came from across the sea.
Yeah.
From Essos? Is that where they're from?
I don't remember.
And
yes.
So
Yes, Essos, because the way that they cross is a land bridge, so not separated, but there's a land bridge where Dorne is. Dorne used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's where the Starks are from originally, I guess. The First Men came. And so the Children of the Forest had to sacrifice a man to create the White Walkers.
Yeah.
And apparently there are theories that was a Stark.
That'd be cool.
So Bran is the Night King, the current Night King.
No.
No, they just have the same power.
They
powers.
Have the same power. So there are people, there's a theory out there that it's actually Bran because it's always been
a
Stark.
Well,
it's always been a Stark.
Well, Starks, I would say, well, other than Bloodraven, Starks have a very... they are more likely to be Green Seers or Wargs because in the books, Jon can warg and Arya
can
warg.
Right?
Yeah.
In the books?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because...
I never heard
people
that.
Were thinking that in the show that when Jon died that he was going to warg into Ghost. That never happened. And also, Ghost is somewhere roaming around.
He's at the wall.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's
also,
with the Night's Watch.
Yeah, and Arya... there are a couple of chapters in the book where Arya's warging.
Hmm.
That'd be cool.
Interesting. Yep. There's even a wild theory. Somebody said that Ned might have warged at the moment he got his head chopped off. That seems,
really?
Yeah, but that's nuts.
Let's hope.
People go so bizarre.
I think people are. Well, it's a that's a fun thing. Yeah. It's a fantasy world. You can just make up your own thing, and then you add it to the layer upon layer.
How about Zombie Catelyn? When's she going to show up?
Yeah,
she's not in the book.
That is in the book, right? She comes
Lady
back.
Stoneheart. Yeah.
I'm sorry,
yeah.
She's in the book. She's not in the show.
Yeah, I think
Lady
that was
Dark,
Lady Stoneheart. Was that Thoros is the one that? Yes, Thoros is the one in the books. Thoros is the one that brings Catelyn back as Lady Stoneheart, and she, unlike Benjen, is like really vengeful. Like she's super like
I would imagine
evil.
In the book.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well,
she's
nothing like Catelyn.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
I mean, of course.
Goes without saying.
Well, let's talk about. So let's get back to the beginning of the episode. We had the. You had the big meeting with everybody.
Everybody,
the Geneva Convention.
The Geneva Convention. We're here in peace.
I love Bronn and Tyrion.
Yeah, there were a lot of great. A point that Hiddish brought up. There's all these reunions. You have Brienne and Jaime, and The brothers are, you know, now you can tell his brother to his face.
Can we talk about Tyrion and Pod?
Tyrion and Pod.
That was a great reunion.
That was
a
good one.
Everybody. It was a lot of team. And then my Hiddish made a point. He goes, it was also nice to see Ser Jorah dressed like an actual knight. Like, he looked like, you know.
Yeah.
And, but he didn't have, him and what's his name? The eunuch's name, I can't remember. Varys. They didn't have a lot to do this episode, but they were there.
Yeah.
But it's cool to see all these people that ended up on Daenerys Targaryen's, like, in her camp.
Yeah.
These are people that, since the beginning of this series filming, have never been on set together.
Yeah, they're all in the same show.
If you watch HBO's 13-minute behind-the-scenes, it's really cool.
Yeah.
A lot of them have never met.
They're on the show, and they've never had a scene together.
Everyone they interviewed said it was the best 10 days of filming they've ever had working on this series.
Because they were all together.
They were all having fun.
Yeah. I forget his
Except
name.
Except for Sean Bean.
I mean.
I forget his name. The guy who plays Jaime. He was saying that. He was saying that, man, it was a party. Like, at the hotels.
Because they all shared a hotel finally. And so they just kept partying after they were there.
Oh, that's cool.
That's neat.
I loved it. And it was a great scene because, they did that little head fake where, the White Walker's dead. Like, it's not going to be.
It's not coming out of the box.
Yeah.
And then it does that great,
lunge to Cersei.
Lunge, and then just comes at it. And you finally see Cersei register emotion other than, snark or disdain. You see that she's actually fearful of. And, she says later on, all I could think of was, our child.
They grab the chain before it bites her head off.
You get to see Euron be a jerk, and then you think he's a coward, but then he's not. That's a fake too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you knew Cersei wasn't gonna. You knew she was
gonna
back
take this lion down
because she's gonna. She's a Lannister, but she does that whole thing where we're leaving. And why are you
dramatic
making
effect?
Why? And then I like how Daenerys kind of did a power play too. Like, I'm gonna show up on my dragon,
I'm showing up late.
I'm showing up fashionably late again. Something from the winter collection. Daenerys looks great.
She's Targaryen's winter collection.
Daenerys winter collection. Boy, she can she's one of those people. And this is her costuming has just been amazing because she always always looks like one of the best. Just like the best dressed characters.
That's for sure.
And I would say the same for Cersei, but Cersei's thing is her whole thing is she's very brooding. So she does a lot of
But
her gown was so beautiful. They
do a real Disney kind of Maleficent look
with
her.
Mm-hmm. They've made her
real,
that way, yeah.
Like,
black.
Yeah, a lot of but it's also, there's just, you see every time you watch the show, they just throw money.
At
the costumes. You're looking at everything and you're just like, wow. And then I love that all the Northerners are wearing, he's wearing their coats and it's
furs.
Like, you're in the middle.
It's hot. 100 degrees out.
What are you doing?
He's in the south.
That's all he's got,
He's in
tell
the
me,
south, but winter
I missed
a
line. What did Daenerys say when she said, we've been here for quite some time? You know, she was late.
Oh, yeah.
All she said was
my apologies. My apologies. That's
okay.
It.
My apologies.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to say, I just flew in and boy, my arms.
And then she said, apology accepted. Captain Nita, and you see Daenerys choking on the ground.
That's a chicken bone.
That's great. But that whole scene was so well done because you had.
This has been a lot of fun to
write. And then Cersei's just staring daggers at her brother the whole time. And you can see Jaime caught in the middle.
Yeah.
Loves his brother.
Yeah.
Loves his sister wife. And, what are you going to do? You're stuck in the middle.
Yeah.
He's like the one, you feel bad for him a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For
they
sure.
Make you feel bad for him.
And I love that Bronn was like, you know what? Let's go have a drink and let
with
the fans.
Because they can't be in a scene.
They
together,
don't need us.
I heard. Yeah.
He's like, they don't need us here. Let's
heard,
go grab
like,
a drink.
The actor who plays Bronn and then Lena Headey, they can't be in a scene together because they dated and it ended so horribly that they cannot be in a scene together.
Are you kidding me?
Isn't that so childish?
It doesn't seem like they would have commented.
So
all these stories of you just told me about it being a party and everyone getting
they weren't partying except Bronn.
They were.
I thought it was more like they're the only two that aren't royalty. So let's go have a drink.
It made sense.
I kind of like that. Hey, we don't belong here.
That makes sense. Other than the bodyguards, the Dothraki bodyguards, and everyone else. Everyone has a title and a political stake here. Because even Jorah's. Pretty much like an emissary bodyguard person. For sure, but like, what is Pod to Brienne?
Other than her,
Squire. What is Braun? I mean, technically he was made a lord, but he's still a mercenary.
No, it made sense. You had to kind of get it towards just the big players.
The main.
Yeah.
I'm going to backtrack a little bit. Interaction, the reunion between Brienne and Sandor, that was really great.
That was so nice.
Because I feel like that was a nice
closing chapter.
Cap in his character arc. Because, you know, he started off, you know, just such an asshole. And, like, ever since he was traveling with Arya, he just, you know, softened up. And
yeah, he grew.
Yeah, he grew as a person. And the season 6 and the beginning of season 7, you just kind of got that he doesn't want to kill people anymore. Mm-hmm. Whereas Arya is the opposite. Their arcs kind of, like, overlapped and they exchanged paths of life. But, you know, I like the fact that Sandor now cares about Arya's well-being, and they both don't explicitly say it, but they both imply that they both care for Arya.
Yeah,
I mean, he said it. He said she said, "I was just looking after her well-being," and he said, "As I was."
Yeah.
He kind of says it, you know.
Yeah.
So that was probably one of my favorite reunions. Well,
and they bonded over the fact that it's Arya they're talking about. They both obviously have an affection for Arya.
Yeah.
And it's two of the characters that you would not think would have affection for anyone because they're both kind of hard, loner.
Very steel.
Yeah. But you were right. This is Game of Thrones. Lyanna Headley and Jerome Flynn are not on speaking terms. That's way back from 2014. So apparently they dated, ended badly, and they are to be kept apart at all costs. So that was from the Telegraph.uk.
2014, so it was while the show was going on.
It was while the show was – they were dating before in 2002.
Okay.
And it had been
– how about that?
But yeah, so that's awful. That's horrible. But it works. No wonder she wants him dead on the show.
She doesn't need to act that part.
Yeah. She's perfectly – she really wants it murdered. She really does. There were a lot of great reunions. You know, obviously Tyrion and Podrick got back together.
That's such a good.
That was nice, you know, because there was affection there.
Yeah.
Genuine affection between characters that really liked each other.
Yeah.
Braun and Tyrion.
Who really cared for each other, even though they were trying to hide it for the better of the houses they're serving at the moment.
You know what it kind of reminded me of, just because it's been in the news so much, is, you know, the American Civil War. You have these generals that had gone to West Point together.
Yeah.
And we're now on opposite sides of this conflict, and we're still, aside from, you know, they had been kind of, you know, you're fighting for this and I'm fighting for this, but we have this friendship before, we had this relationship, and now we find ourselves on opposite sides of the conflict. I thought that was a very interesting, because there's not like, it's not like, it's not black and white. It's not like I hate you because you're on the enemy side now. It's, you know, we have this, you know, we went through this thing together.
A shared history.
You know, you helped me out here and, you know, we survived and now we're, you know, we're friends. But
I think that's the trouble with Jamie, is that he wants to be on the other side, but he has to be on the side that he's on.
He sees the handwriting on the wall. He sees.
And now he's made the right move. It's like, well, nothing for me here.
And I love that she threatens to kill both of her brothers and doesn't do it.
Can't bring herself to do it. Both times you think it's going to happen, you know?
She has the killing machine at her disposal.
She just can't bring herself to do it.
What if – what would be great is if he goes to finally kill someone and just his arm falls off. Because Qyburn just seems like such a shitty wizard. Such a shitty mage.
Qyburn grafts that dead arm onto his arm.
Yeah.
And he's like – that hybrid, like, Benjen, just, like, zombie Jamie hand.
Yeah, like a Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
That'd be that thing where they do – what if they ripped off the scene that you have the arm laying there? He's poking it with a needle, like Luke Skywalker.
I did love, just burn it. Sorry. I did love how there was, like, such a massive threat, and Qyburn was just like, how did they do this? Like, this is cool. I knew the science behind this disaster.
Like, what's that with mirrors?
And then I love where – I love at the end, you know, where they slice it in half finally, John gives up and gives a demonstration, like – he's selling, like, cutlery at the L.A. County Fair. He's just like, we can burn it with fire. Or kill it with dragon glass.
Cut through your stomach.
Wait, there's more.
You can run over it with a monster truck.
He's selling it like a Ginsu knife.
It's all yours for one Lannister army.
Do you think John, like, actively knows that Valyrian steel works on White Walkers because he did not mention that at all. And I was like, why didn't he mention Valyrian steel?
I think he just figures his sword is good enough.
I think it's maybe – well, the thing is there's not a lot of Valyrian steel.
Yeah.
So why put yourself in danger of somebody killing you to try to get your sword? It is Valyrian steel.
I guess. I mean, Jamie has one. Brienne has
but
one.
But dragonglass is plentiful.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
everybody can make themselves a weapon of dragonglass. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It seems like most of it is at
what she's trying to say is I think he was trying to break the point, make the point like, we can kill it with fire or dragonglass. We have enough. We have these armies. We can arm everyone to meet this threat.
We just need the
numbers. So there's no reason to say, you know, we have the
these handful of people can also do it.
It's basically the nuclear option because you have – there's so few people that have it. Yeah. Is it even worth mentioning?
Right,
it's like,
exactly.
Oh, and by the way, we have Valyrian. I don't think he was trying to purposely keep it a secret.
Mm.
It's just it's not an option unless you're one of the handful of people that has it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. There's only a few of those swords out there. So
no, you're like, right. You're right about that. It's not even worth bringing up.
Gotcha.
But I love that the mountain or the hound just took one in half, like just cleaved it in half, like no problem.
Yeah.
Just like, and it did that cool magician trick where the legs are still crawling around.
I love it. Yeah, it's still crawling around. It's like, Jesus, look at this thing.
Yeah. I loved it. I love it.
And okay, Cersei could care less. I thought
She didn't. She wasn't impressed by the demo that John did a little like.
He wasn't selling it, though.
Yeah. It looked cool, though.
He said it makes
John's
GM
not
price.
A salesman, though.
He did a great job, though.
And then he pulled that dumbass move where he couldn't lie to Cersei when everyone on Earth can lie to Cersei.
That's the Stark.
That's
Ned Stark school of honesty.
Yeah,
dude, lie. Lie for longer.
Yeah, it's honesty to a fault, literally.
It is. Because he looks at Dany, and even Dany kind of gives that, like, it's okay type of, like, nod where he's like, where she's like, I'll understand if you say yes. And I, like, everyone was just like, okay, John, go ahead. Like, she gave you the okay. She's not going to be pissed at you. And then he was like, I can't serve two queens. And he was like, oh.
He did make a point, though. At a certain point, it's going to work in his favor to say, here are the cards as they really are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he even said that. He says, you know, you keep lying and it just complicates things later, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He had good
intentions.
Reasons and
he
intentions.
Did the right
it was
thing.
Just frustrating. It was just
and she says, I respect it. I don't know why you did it, but I respect it.
You're an idiot, but thank you. Yeah.
I guess he did the honest thing, but was it the right thing?
Just like Ned. Ned was honest till the very end. And
and he even mentioned that. Killed. He says, I know, you're all going to say it just like my dad. You know?
Yeah.
So he knows. He knows. We'll see. I don't know.
But Ed has to be true to who – the Starks, for better or worse, are always true to who they are.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you have a character like
– So Sansa's just bland for the sake of bland.
She's like
she
male.
She's been through a lot. She's
But you have characters like Jaime who's getting to that point where he is not – who he is all the time. He's who his sister wants him to be.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Or who he needs to be because he's in this position. So he hasn't been true to himself and it's gotten him nothing but misery and pain.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, you know, maybe he sees that and it's like, you know, for better or worse, John is who he is and you're never surprised by where he's coming from.
No.
You knew he was going to do that.
Yeah.
Just like you knew what's his name was going to get killed against fighting the mountain because he couldn't help from bragging. You know what I mean?
So frustrating.
He had to do it.
Yeah.
He had to do a little dance around.
He had to do a little dance and talk a little garbage.
Just to appease Hiddish, it was Oberyn Martell.
Oberyn Martell, that's right. He was going to be mad at me. He was going to be. Thank you.
Don't call them by
Hiddish must be
name.
Appeased at all times. Hiddish is like the most mellow guy in the world, too. But it's so funny because he's like, dude, I'm screaming at my radio. So he's like, no. Sorry, brah.
Don't say eye patch guy.
Don't eye patch dude. And then Justin Turner from the Dodgers fell off the wall at the end with his giant red beard when Godzilla came to attack.
So I'm glad that they were on the other side of the wall. They weren't actually falling to their death.
Yeah.
Well, some people were.
So many red shirts this episode.
Oh, many. Yeah,
red shirts, yeah.
The last of the Night's Watch all tumbled down the.
Right, right.
Well, that was East Watch, right? Yeah. They're still where mm-hmm. John served.
That's Castle Black.
That was not
Castle Black.
So it's a part of the wall.
But they didn't. Was it still manned, or did they send people to East Watch?
They sent the wildlings to man East Watch. So the problem that they had was that because over the long summer, the tales of the White Walkers, or the truth of the White Walkers, was seen as like a fairy tale. The people didn't see the need to fully man the wall. So really all they had was Castle Black. And I think there's either three or
I think there's three altogether.
Three outposts: Castle Black, East Watch, and whatever's on the west side.
West Watch,
Westworld,
the West Wing,
West Side,
the West Wing, yeah,
Westwood,
Deadwood,
Westwood, Santa Monica,
Darkwood.
Put them out in Santa Monica.
Okay. Anyways, so John's plan was to man East Watch with the Wildlings, and when he did that at the end of season 6 when they were in Winterfell, and the Bannermen didn't like that. But, you know.
That's okay. Well, it's better them than the... Yeah, they proved to be fodder, so I like, you know, it worked out for them.
Yeah.
Because Godzilla came, and that was it.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah.
This is Raymond Burr, Steve Martin.
As long as Tormund's alive, it's fine.
He is. Because him and Brienne
need...
Yeah.
To make their monstrous babies? Yes.
Yeah, that somebody was mentioning that. They say, so now it's possible. I love that what did he say when she says, I can never have children? And who told you that?
Yeah.
Some witch in the middle of the desert?
Yeah.
Maybe witches aren't a reliable source.
Maybe that's
source.
Not the reliable source. Yeah.
Miri Mesder told her that she couldn't have children.
But that's the only person that's ever told
and
her that.
And that was in exchange for giving her dragon's life. So,
oh, is that right?
Yeah, there's a line.
Oh, was that witchcraft?
Yeah, there was a well, according to her. So
is that in the book or is that in the show?
I think a little of both. I'd have to rewatch season one again.
So that was a trade-off.
Yeah, so because they were petrified dragon eggs that she got as a wedding gift.
Yes.
And Miri Mesder...
I thought it was to bring Khal Drogo back to life. Because it took the son out of her to put life into Khal Drogo. And then that didn't work out. And then the dragons were born in the fire.
Yes. So I guess what it was, or the curse or whatever the thing was, it was for life, there must be death.
Mm-hmm.
So she sacrificed Rhaego, her son, Rhaego's life to bring back Drogo.
Mm-hmm.
Drogo came back as like a zombie.
Yeah.
So then she was like, fuck it. Killed Drogo, and as a result, the dragons...
Got the dragons, okay.
Came back to life.
Who gave her the petrified dragon egg?
Oh,
they were a gift from...
It
was season one.
Yeah, who gave those?
Like, who would have
little finger?
They were petrified.
But they were from... Were they from that...
They were from the beginning... what's the name of the city in the beginning? It was they were a wedding present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That somebody brought her. Mm-hmm. Was it... It wasn't Jorah...
No.
Oh, was
I
it?
I think it was someone Jorah knew.
Was it Illyrio?
It might have been Illyrio, who was their original like patron.
Yeah. So when
who gave Daenerys dragon eggs?
When
Ciri.
John, Viserys? How many times have I told
when
you?
When Viserys. When Daenerys and Viserys.
It's not Ciri.
Illyrio.
Oh, cool.
Gifted to her by Illyrio Mopatis.
So that's a real... usually they don't give you a direct response. They go, for that you'll have to look
up. No, if they have it, it will give you a direct response.
How about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just Google Assistant, right?
Yeah, you say, okay,
how
Google.
They give her a name?
Google, why don't you have a name?
My name, your Google Assistant. My mission, to assist you. My favorite color, probably blue, but it changes sometimes.
There you go. How about that?
How about that?
Okay, Google, when will Skynet go active? When will Skynet become self-aware?
August 29th. According to Nederama, according to the 1991 movie Terminator 2, Judgment Day, August 29th is the day Skynet becomes self-aware.
That was yesterday.
So yesterday?
That was yesterday.
Oh
so
it's already happened.
We're all screwed.
That's
it's already happened.
How do you feel right now, John?
Skynet's active.
It's great that you get that answer.
Skynet's online.
Skynet is online, guys.
Well, is that the year or just the month and day?
Yeah, it just says August
29th. There wasn't a year attached. Huh?
Mm-mm.
2017.
How about that? They know their pop culture. They're just right up there with that.
Oh,
that's such a coincidence.
The system goes online August 4th. The Skynet funding bill is passed. The system goes
online. Amazing. Ask her this. How do we get rid of Trump?
Okay, Google. Oh, no, that's going to be... That's going to put me on an FBI database.
Oh, you're right. Sorry.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Just cut that. Just cut that part.
So,
how do we get rid of rhymes with crump?
How do we get rid of Littlefinger?
You know how you do a kangaroo court?
Kangaroo court.
Nobody was sad to see him go.
No. That was great.
That was such a great scene.
That was really
that was so satisfying.
Man,
yeah. So good.
We called it.
What a bait and switch.
That's right. We were
Sansa.
I know.
How do you play?
That's right. They were Baelish. How do you have a reunion with Bran? And he says he's the three-eyed raven, and you don't ask him questions.
Yeah, you guys alluded to the fact that they're asking him stuff. Stuff happens off camera.
Which I'm glad about.
How would you not ask him questions?
How do you get a dagger from Littlefinger and not ask where it comes from?
Basically, you got a magic eight ball for Christmas. You're asking that thing.
Yeah. I love it, Bran's the
magic
eight ball.
But you have to shake him once in a while because his answers are a little vague.
That's right. I love that.
Answer not clear.
Reply hazy.
Shake his head.
Also, this is probably a bigger question for media in general, is that sometimes nowadays you get people are expecting for the producers or the writers to hold their hands
and
through this.
And spoon feed them.
Exactly. And it's just like...
The best books, you have to meet them halfway.
Yeah. Exactly.
And the best movies, you have to meet them halfway.
Suspend your disbelief. You know, you get inferences and...
That's the thing I love about Game of Thrones. Everything could happen. I know there's zombies.
And they force you to pay attention.
I know there's dragons.
It rewards you for paying attention.
Because there's little details.
It rewards you for being
notice.
A nerd because you're like, oh, I remember this in season one. Just like Aaron.
It's
just
not
did.
The sort of thing you can listen to while you're in the kitchen making something. You know, you have to watch.
Yeah, you have to sit and watch.
Because they're exchanging glances and there's subtleties and you have to really be watching. You know?
Yeah.
Because I mean, I don't know. In terms of the general public, when they consume media, is this like you watch all the scenes that are given to you, and it's just like you think something's going one way, and it's such a major plot twist. But like, I almost want to say like I saw it coming because you know you've known these characters for 7 years so far, and it's within the realm of possibility. It's within their nature to do that bait and switch or.
It's happened. And I don't think there's not many people watching this show casually.
Yeah.
At this point, people are really into it, and they really committed a lot of time and energy to this show.
To speak to that, Aaron, somebody online on the internet said a woman figured out she knew that plot point. She figured out about halfway through the season. I have not confirmed this. It has been confirmed by others. I haven't done it. Every time. After Bran gets back, I guess I'm not sure when the time was, but when Bran returns to Winterfell, so pretty much every episode in season 7, whenever Baelish is on screen or talking, you can hear ravens, which means that Bran's been following him and watching him the whole time.
That's
so
cool.
Bran knew the whole time.
So he tipped off.
So that was kind of a subtle. I don't know if it's true or not, but. People confirm that is true. I have not personally confirmed it, but every time Baelish is speaking, you can hear ravens in the background. And she said she realized it because it drove her nuts.
I don't blame her.
It drove her nuts. She's like, why are there crows? Why do I keep hearing crows?
Yeah. That's great.
Cool. Ravens.
And it was only when Baelish was on the screen.
That's awesome.
But what a great, well-acted scene. He acted that scene to perfection.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's the guy you love to hate.
Yeah.
His face went from smug to holy shit. And you see him just...
He was going
to
cry.
He went through a full range of emotions in like
pulling,
2 minutes.
Yeah, he was pulling every trick to get her to, can we just talk alone? I wanted to...
And then I'm going to beg. I'm going to get on my knees and beg.
Yeah.
First he tries to be...
Like
he tries to... Yeah, he throws himself out. Then he's like, I am the veil, the protector of the veil. And they're like, no.
Don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. And then it just was begging. I loved you. I loved your mother. And
they had it all. You kicked her through the moon door.
Yeah.
My aunt, you pushed her through the moon
door. And like, he's like, none of you were here. And then Bran just creepily repeats
just
his words.
Stares.
And then Sansa just says, what's the worst thing? I try to think to myself, I play a game. What's the worst reason?
And you just see
his face, like all the color drains from his face.
Yeah.
And he knows this is it.
Yeah.
And Arya's just waiting. Yeah. Just waiting.
Patient.
Waiting for
hands
him to
behind
wait,
her back.
Yep,
waiting
for him
to the order.
Mm-hmm. And she just does what her sister tells him, just like, fuck. And you get to hear him say it because, Sansa. And then, just right in the middle of it.
Gurgle, gurgle.
Oh, such a one of my favorite scenes in the entire. I haven't been that satisfied since Joffrey ate the pie.
That was great. I love that scene was drawn out for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's like, mmm.
Yeah, just, mmm. So tasty. Like, so delicious.
I can rewatch that all day.
Peter and the wolves.
There have been a lot of, there have been a lot of great scenes. We just talked about Lady Tyrell and her... Olena? Death scene was awesome. Just like, yep, tell her it was
she
me.
She went out like a boss.
Yeah, just like, tell her it was me. Drinks the poison, like chugs it.
Yeah.
Like a frat boy in Cancun just chugs it. Just like, and then just, yep, guess what?
YOLO.
Yep. Well, I'm dead. You're dead already. Like,
what are you going to do? Kill me twice?
Killed your daughter.
She's like, is this going to hurt? No. Great.
Yeah, great. Because you know what? I'm about to hurt you. That's it. Yeah. And boom.
And what I loved is Sansa said... one of my favorite lines, and it explains it perfectly, it's, I'm a slow learner, but I learn. And you see, watch her from the past seasons, mm-hmm. of all the bad things she's gone through, she starts it off as best as she can, mm-hmm. and then she learns, and she takes what she's learned and uses it against whoever she's with.
At least she acknowledges that she's the new Rickon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's not the smartest, but Rickon she gets it done.
Just didn't know about serpentine. That's Rickon's fault.
That bugged me so much during that scene. I'm like, dude.
Remember that scene from the in-laws? The in-laws.
Don't go in a straight line.
Peter Falk and
Alan Arkin.
Yeah, the sniper shooting at him. Serpentine! Serpentine! I love that.
Yeah, run. I was yelling.
Because he never played
zigzag.
A shooter?
I was going, zigzag, zigzag.
He never played a shooter before.
I know, right?
Running serpentine.
I just didn't know. He was happy to see his brother.
Didn't last long.
Man.
Rickon was... I mean, there was nothing for him to do. What was his role?
Not everyone remembered that he was in the show until Ramsay was like, by the way, you have a little brother, and I have him right now. And everyone was like, right?
I feel like people were like, oh, yeah, Bran's the youngest. No. It's Rickon.
There's a little baby. Because he named his dog the stupidest... He named his wolf the stupidest name of all the wolves.
Wait, what was...
Fluffy.
Shaggy Dog.
Oh, that's right.
Is that right?
That's right. He did have the dumbest Shaggy name.
Dog. That is terrible.
Yeah, remember Rickon cut his head off.
Yeah.
Ugh.
First episode.
Not Rickon. Ramsay Bolton.
God damn.
Not Ramses. We're not watching...
Ramses?
We're not watching Nacho Libre. Ramses! You're the best!
Is that
Ramsay Bolton? Yeah, remember Ramsay Bolton has it.
I want to know what it tastes like.
They show he pulls the head out of the bag.
Oh, okay. I remember.
Do you guys watch the show at all?
I do. And I remember the way Rob died, and I remember that wolf's head, and I totally forgot about Rickon. What
the
can
Shaggy
I say?
DA.
Yeah, but
and then Lady.
Hey,
Lady was killed. Nymeria was sent off.
Well,
and
we
Ghost,
know Nymeria came.
Nymeria
yeah, Nymeria is
back.
Leading her pack of wolves.
Ghost is at the wall.
Ghost is at Castle Black?
Yeah, because there's a part in one of the episodes where Arya's following Sansa around, and she's doing stuff, and Sansa's like, I'm not going to be like Ghost and sit around for Jon to come back. So, Ghost
by
is
the
at
way,
Castle
so
Black.
So Ghost is at Winterfell.
No, Castle Black.
Oh, Castle Black.
Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for Nymeria to come in and fight the White
Save
Walkers.
Save the day, yeah.
That's going to happen.
Oh, because Nymeria is gathering her own army?
Her own pack,
yeah. They're going to do like a full Chronicles of Narnia.
Her teeth are
the Golden Compass.
There's going to be leopard dudes and puma men.
Leopard dudes.
No. Mr. Tumnus.
Mr. Tumnus is going to be in there. McAvoy is going to be in there. Mr. Tumnus in a wheelchair. Throw an X-Men reference in there. It's going to be like the greatest battle of all time,
slowly
dude.
Slowly losing hair during the battle,
yeah.
Who was the voice of the lion? Was that Liam Neeson?
It was Liam Neeson, yeah.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Love those books as a kid. That was my Game of Thrones.
How did you like the movie?
When I was like 7 or 8. They were fun.
They did two, right?
They did three.
No, wait.
They did Prince Caspian. They did Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Prince Caspian, and...
Don Treader,
which is my favorite of the books.
Also, I think
the movie was okay.
Silverchair is in production right now.
Is that true?
I think so.
They're going to keep doing them?
Yeah. I hope so.
They weren't making money, so they just stopped, right?
I'm not sure if Disney's still doing it. I think they've switched production companies.
I mean, how many years has it been since the third one?
Been a little while.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite moments in the...
Or Magician's Nephew. Not Silverchair. I think Magician's Nephew.
They read the first book. My favorite moment in Don Treader is when they sail to the part of the sea and it gets black like a cave and it's dark and they have the light and everything. And somebody says, oh, this is the place where all your dreams come true. And at first they're like, oh, this is going to be great. And then slowly they realize, like, all of your dreams are going to come true.
When your
so they're like, we have to get out of here. Like, we have. And reading that as a kid, I remember that just made like the hair stand up. I'm like, I got goosebumps reading that because I started to think of some of the dreams I had as a kid.
Yeah.
And I was like, I always loved that as a
that's kid. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They're like, we got to get out of here. Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Read it, kids. But yeah, I mean, we're not going as deep this week because it was basically you had the two set pieces. You had the – and then let's get to it. Everybody wants to talk about it.
HBO After Dark?
No, I don't want to talk about it.
You don't want to talk about it? So you're not actually, one of the people that was pulling for it?
No, absolutely not.
We were talking about this last week.
Well, last week I was totally against it, and I still
Danny
am.
Was pulling it.
Too late.
Oh, whoa.
Okay, if we're not going to talk about it explicitly.
She got 6 to 8 inches of snow. Hello.
Let's talk about...
Hide the dragon.
Let's talk about Samuel Tarly... coming
taking
to Winterfell.
Let's talk about this. We're going to get to this first. So let me. We have to address this because it's the elephant in the room.
Okay.
9 inches of snow?
No, let's not. Let's not overstate things. All right.
12 inches of snow.
So,
Longclaw?
Hello. You guys are great.
What'd you say?
Longclaw?
These keep coming. The kids keep on coming. No pun intended.
They do.
All right. See, I had to get it. So were you guys on
gotta
board
the
with
family.
The John and.
No.
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 I was fine with it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, in the realm of the... In the world of the show, I mean, I guess.
I wonder if George R. R. Martin had that in mind.
Why do you guys... Here's why.
Well, Martin takes a lot of influence from British history. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, for the biggest dynasty, the Targaryens, for them to want to be purists... Like the Tudors were that. I mean, that makes total sense. Like that.
She doesn't know
the bloodline.
Yes.
What the bloodline is for him.
Yes.
Yet.
So I'm okay with it in the sense that, like,
it makes sense historically.
Yes. In terms of like how society viewed it, even society. Jaime and Cersei had to hide it. Us being in the society that we live in, we don't like it. For fans to be okay with just John and Danny makes no sense to me. Mm-hmm. If they can be against incest in general in the world of Game of Thrones, specifically hate on Jaime and Cersei,
yeah.
but be okay with John and Danny,
uh-huh.
makes no fucking sense
to me. I see where you're coming from.
But
now.
I'm hearing complaints
but
just story-wise.
But they know they're related.
How does that change the fact that
here's the
they're
thing,
shipping
though.
Them
but you what now John was talking about
people seem to be complaining more that it's a bad story move
but here's why
I haven't heard anybody saying ooh incest it's
but here's
like,
why it's not and we're gonna this is why I brought Aaron on the show today specifically there's a theory and
okay.
I'm gonna give you your option as to whether or not you because this could blow the ending of the series for you now we know in the books and in the show, there is the prince who will come.
The prince who was promised.
The prince who was promised.
So
and that's not gender specific.
He is going to tell you the theory, and this is why this could end up. And this is, could explain why Tyrion was looking at the door, because Tyrion and...
That's separate, though.
Oh, is it?
It's separate.
Oh, because I was thinking Tyrion's like Samwell. He knows all the legends.
He's been reading.
Tyrion has different concerns.
Why?
Political, right?
Yeah.
Geopolitical, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, do you want me to just get right into it? Okay.
Well, first tell the... We'll talk about Tyrion in a minute.
No, yeah.
But tell the legend... Now, there's a legend in the world of Westeros.
Even in Essos. So, in the world of Game of Thrones, there is the first Long Night. There was a hero that...
So the Long Night is when the White Walkers came south the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they've been there before.
Right.
Yeah. So this was before the wall was built. So there is a hero, a great hero that saved the whole world from the Night King and the dead. And each region in Essos and Westeros have their own, like, what they call it. So according to the red priests and priestesses, there's the prince that was promised, which is what we've heard. In I don't remember what region, but there's also a name called Azor Ahai, it's not explicitly one-to-one, but the way that other characters imply it means the same thing, and there's other names for it in different regions of the world. And the prophecy that he will come back again, he...
there's a couple of different signs, which both John and Danny have happened. So it's they will be born under a blood red star amongst salt and smoke. What was the other one? They will wield a flaming sword called Lightbringer, and in the original hero, in order to get his sword ablaze, he had to sacrifice his lover Nissa Nissa by stabbing her through the heart. So
he forged a sword, He tried to temper the sword and it broke. He forged another sword, tempered it by trying to kill a lion, and it broke. And then, so he had to use. So when he killed his, and he told his lover, "We have to do this." And so she basically sacrificed herself, knowing it would temper the sword. And so the sword always was warm to the touch because it was basically he pierced her through the heart. So it took on like the essence of her heart, but he was able to kill that version of the Night King and defeat the White Walkers.
Okay,
but she had to die to do it.
Oh.
So there's a theory that Danny and John, one of them is going to have to kill the other one to be able to defeat the Night King finally. So in a version of that prophecy that's coming. So that's why a lot of people are saying they didn't want it to happen because it means that
one of them has to die.
But that would be an awesome way to end it.
Yeah,
now,
it would.
You know, I mean, it's up to
sacrifice.
You. Sacrifice.
Yeah. I mean, what's cool about the Azor Ahai prophecy is that they both fill all the requirements.
So it's going to be their kid.
Well, and
it's going to be their
kid. The last thing was, I guess, it was prophesied that the next prince who was promised will be of Aerys and Rhaella Targaryen's bloodline, which both
Arian.
Of them are.
Me too.
What?
I have this idea Arian. that might be like the last shot of the last episode is the baby being born, and this is the future king, you know?
Well, the prince that was promised, his main goal is to kill the Night King and bring an end to the long winter.
And
the long night.
And we know that we already know winter's here because it started snowing in the last scene of this episode.
Yeah, yeah. When Jaime's leaving, he saw that it started snowing in King's Landing.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was just like, shit just got real.
Yes.
He was just like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to Winterfell.
Yeah.
I thought the end of season 6, they stated winter is here.
It was for the north.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It and was for the north.
It was
okay.
Everywhere. The cold front's moving now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's moving
like Gendry.
I'm wearing my Gendry outfit.
I saw you wearing your Gendry outfit. You got your lightning bolt on.
Funny fact, Jill thought you meant like the actor who played The Flash also played Gendry when you kept saying The Flash was on Game of Thrones.
She's adorable.
I was like, no.
She's so adorable. Now let's talk about here's where I got excited about the show. For next season, this wacky duo of Sam and Bran is going to be great. Because Sam's the only one that knows what Bran is talking about because he has all of this archaic knowledge.
It seems like he knew something that Bran didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
How's
he
that
also,
possible?
Can we? He's just like, if you're the three-eyed raven, can you look at it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Also,
you're right. I can do that. Yeah.
I love how we now know what, what's his name? Rhaegar looks like.
Yeah.
We know
he looks like his brother.
One Targaryen male wig, and they passed it around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm
so convinced that's the same actor.
I was too.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a little disappointed because in the published book, A World of Ice and Fire, there are official illustrations of all these characters, and man, Rhaegar looks awesome.
He's supposed to be like a badass. That's why when him and Robert Baratheon go at it, because Robert Baratheon's supposed to be a huge guy too.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be like this epic
battle.
It was this epic battle because like Robert Baratheon he was like a warhammer.
Yeah.
And like it was supposed to be like this.
He's a tank.
Yeah, he's like basically like this giant, and that's why when Ned first sees him in the book, he's really disappointed how fat he is and how he's out of shape. Because he just used to just be this badass.
Like,
and Ned sees him and says, man, this is the guy that killed, you know.
He's the Mad King. No, not Jamie did. killed Rhaegar Targaryen.
Yeah. This is the guy, the Battle of the Trident. It's like this legend. And so he's supposed to be like this, you know.
So how many years pass maybe between the time he marries?
15, I think.
So maybe in 15 years he bulks up, you know.
Robert's Rebellion happens right after when they marry. When they marry, yeah, that's what starts.
Oh,
also,
okay.
I don't know who, I don't know people's opinions on Robert, but like now that we know that the whole Robert's Rebellion, as is the War of the Five Kings, are both like.
It was bogus.
Yeah.
It was basically bogus.
Like, the entire conflict for the last 50 years have just been nothing.
Yeah, because he was jealous.
Everyone was petty.
Yeah, he was jealous that this woman that he loved married another guy. But that, what does that say about Ned Stark? Is Ned Stark right or wrong to back his friend?
Yeah.
As, you know, his best friend, and it's like, you're supposed to marry my sister. He still backed his friend.
Wow. Like, so if Robert had known that John was Lyanna's son, he probably would have been pissed.
Yeah,
would have killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he wanted to kill Gendry. He wanted
Daenerys.
To kill Daenerys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Ned kept talking him out of it.
Yeah.
You know? So.
And how come Rhaegar named John after his son?
Aegon?
Aegon.
He has two Aegons.
He has two Aegon Targaryens.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. He has one with the Dorne girl, Elia. Elia.
Was she dead already, though?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, so...
He annulled, I think. Yeah.
So what happened? Yeah, he did annul the marriage. So the history there is Rhaegar and Elia. They got married. They had two children. I think one stillborn, because he thought that one of his children was going to be, or he was going to be the prince that was promised. Because also part of that was the three heads of the dragon. So he wanted to have three children. So he had two with Elia, but the maester said that she couldn't have any more children. She couldn't live through another child.
Oh, you're going to listen to a maester? No, I'm Jon Snow.
Listen.
Are you okay?
And then he fell in love with Lyanna at the tournament at Harrenhal. And he annulled his marriage.
We're getting hints of it. Well, we know that Jon Snow's lineage is now no secret, but we're getting. I want to see that timeline unfold chronologically. So just in my head, I have it.
So you
know what I mean?
Because
I'm trying to piece it all together. There's
There's that book that's like all the
World of Ice and Fire.
Yeah, that gives you. Charts and maps and lineages, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also, if you want to check out a cool YouTube page that does analysis and stuff like that on Game of Thrones, which is where I get a lot of my information from.
Yes. What's it called?
Alt-Shift-X.
Alt-Shift-X.
Mm-hmm.
On YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to check it out. Yep. Alt-Shift-X. All right. We have to wrap it up, guys. This has been a good show.
Oh, before we leave, can we talk about Theon?
No. We've totally skipped over Theon.
And Jaime leaving.
And he's a man, and Theon's a man now, and
yeah,
he fought for his right to party.
Mm-hmm.
He's going after his sister.
What he thought was a weakness was actually his strength.
That's right.
Yeah. His greatest strength. What the?
It was very anticlimactic.
He's a dick no longer.
I was just like... You're going to pull the I have no balls so I you can't hurt me trope. Like,
also, this guy ought to know that.
That would still hurt.
Yeah, I know. It would
like,
still.
Kick a woman in the groin, that's going to fucking hurt.
It smarts. It does.
The groin's a sensitive region.
It is. Yeah. Well, there's a lot
Whether
of nerve
or not
endings
something's
there.
There, yeah.
But you know what? I bet, like, nerve endings wise, there's probably nothing.
Oh, he's probably dead. Yeah.
Depending on how good Ramsay did, in terms of cauterizing or any sort of healing,
I think there was probably it's probably pretty
mangled,
pretty brutal.
Right
yeah, but that was a very 80s action comedy way to go.
Yeah,
like,
it was
like James Bond like fighting Jaws. Like, oh yeah, his balls are steel too. It's like, oh great, yeah.
So
yeah.
It was like Moonraker.
I
thought he was going to turn to the camera and go, no!
Yeah, the low point of a James Bond movie is pretty much how Theon, like, won
the
fight.
But I mean, taking that rock to his head repeatedly, and it's like, no, who's with me?
Yeah.
It, like, fueled him, too.
Like, all right.
Like, reinvigorated him to win that fight.
Yeah.
I like the Theon's rebirth as, you know, mm-hmm. like...
And I like that John told him, "Hey, what are you doing talking to me? We'll have this out later."
Say, that scene was great too.
Yeah.
Well,
he says, "Yeah." He says, "Well, for what I can forgive you for,
I do." Yeah.
He says, "There's things beyond, you know, but for what I can forgive you for, I do."
Yeah. There were some great one-on-one scenes this whole episode.
There were, yeah,
a ton of them. Cersei and Tyrion, Theon and John.
What about Brienne and Jamie?
Fuck loyalty. Yeah,
dude,
that was so good.
My only complaint was Brienne's eyes were permanently popped.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that.
She permanently just had popped?
Yeah.
She just had a perma-pop eyeball look going.
Yeah.
But she helped Jamie. In a sense, she helped convince Jamie to leave Cersei.
Set this, yeah, because when he finally goes to see Cersei.
Understand, your sister's psycho. Yeah. And go ahead.
I think it was the fact that Brienne said this goes beyond oaths.
Yeah.
And that's her loyalty is all she, like, her loyalty was her thing. That was her thing. Yeah. And for Jamie to see, like, she would give up loyalty for the good of the realm, like, that's important. That's super
not all
important.
Of those. Let me just tell you this right now. Not everybody who was in that scene at the dragon pit, not everybody in that scene will be with us at the end.
No.
We know that.
Oh, yeah.
We
know
that, for sure.
It was nice to see everybody together one last time.
Yeah.
Because knowing the way the show is going, who knows who will be left?
Yeah, who do you want? Who is the one character? Who do you really want to see make it?
So,
give me your one character you want to see make it.
I want Podrick. In the same vein.
That's your guy? I don't care. I want
Podrick on the throne.
Yeah.
In the vein of Gandalf the White.
Cock.
In the vein of Gandalf the White, I want to see Hodor right over the horizon.
On the Eagles?
Hold on.
On Eagles.
On the Eagles?
Yeah.
How about you? Who's the one character you're like?
It's a tie between Tyrion and Jon. Those are my two favorites.
To live or die?
To live. Oh my God.
What do you guys say? Who's the one character you go, I hope he makes it?
Tyrion. You really want Tyrion to make it. Yeah. I don't know that he will, but I really would like that. Yeah.
Jake?
One character.
Tyrion or Podrick?
You know who?
I also like Gendry.
You're like, enough with
Gendry
the Podrick.
You know who I like? I think everybody, even though I think we kind of forgive him for shooting the dragon. I think Bronn is a guy that everybody wants to survive.
Yes.
But one of my guys, just because, you know.
Tormund.
One of my guys.
Qyburn.
Tormund.
Tormund, I would love to see make it.
Yeah.
But I got a soft spot for the old guys.
Ah.
So I really want to see. Sir Davos and Jorah.
Yeah.
I want to see those two guys. Because Jorah's been so loyal.
Yeah.
This unrequited love, it's heartbreaking, and it's like, you know he's going to have to die. He's going to die for Dany, and it's just like...
And you know he would do it honorably,
And he's going to do it honorably. But I'm glad... And again, that scene last week where he and Jane, you know, he tries to give,
John
tries to give him the sword back, and he's like, no.
Yeah.
You take it. Like, that just shows you.
That was a hell of a scene.
Yeah.
Where he explains why he should keep it.
I'm glad, Jordan, he hasn't had a lot to do since he's come back, but I'm glad that he's back.
And they are key moments. When they do give him something to say, you are leaning toward the television.
He's a good guy. And so I'm really kind of hoping. And I just love Sir Dava. He's such a good, another loyal, he was loyal to his king.
Stick it
to
the end.
Yeah.
One of those decent guys in a decent place.
So, all right, guys. Well, we're going to wrap it up with our Game of Thrones talk. We just did one topic this week because there was a lot to cover.
Mm. Now we got like a year, more than a year before it comes.
So, next week.
November 2018.
Or 19.
Or 19.
It's possible. They said maybe nothing till 2019.
Yeah, they're pushing it.
Pushing it good.
Well, we got Westworld. Westworld of spring 2018.
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things. Mr. Robot's coming back. I'm excited.
That thing she said.
More Daredevil.
He's making a face.
Oh, somebody said Stranger Things. I'm sorry, what?
You have Defenders if you haven't watched.
You know what?
The Punisher.
Stranger Things have happened, okay.
Stranger Things are happening.
I'm four episodes into the Defenders, and it's getting better. It's just that I don't care about Iron Hand.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what?
Iron Fist.
Thank you. What did I say? Iron Man.
Iron Hand.
Metal Hand. Oh, because he's fighting
Jamie
a hand.
Jamie Lannister.
He's fighting. Yeah,
Hand. Goldfinger.
I care about that guy. I don't care about Iron Fist, and I figured out that I don't like. And people are going to hate me for this,
Jessica.
I don't like. And listen, I'm no actor. But her acting style is just not...
Well, you said she's too mopey.
Not too... Well, the character...
She gets better
in
Defenders.
You said you can tell that she's trying to be
dour.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It comes
when
off
when she's actually not a dour person.
Yeah, it kind of comes off that way.
It's not organic.
Yeah.
She gets better to handle if you don't like her in Defenders because she makes jokes. And it's not she's not as heavy as she was
yeah,
in her
I'm
own
I'm noticing
season.
That, yeah.
But
the
she'll,
less
she'll
they focus
jokes,
the
yeah.
less they focus on so her? I'm at the point now where they're all together.
Okay.
And they're in the Chinese restaurant and they're all like talking about what they're going to do.
Yeah.
So and so
also have Inhumans coming out.
Yeah. I've heard that's I've
I'm
heard,
not excited.
Heard that's
that.
Not good.
I think Inhumans and
also
Iron Fist are the Marvel's flops.
The guy who plays Ramsey is in it.
Yeah, I'll only watch it.
Ramses.
Inhumans is Channel 7. It's not Netflix.
No, it's
right?
it's going to be KBC here in the Los Angeles area.
But is it going to be connected to S.H.I.E.L.D. or
no? Maybe.
Well, it's all going to be part of that because they have a universe now, both television and cinematically. But Inhumans, when that premieres, I think the first three episodes are going to get a theatrical release because I think it's a three-part arc.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah. And it's going to be in IMAX. So I think the first two or three episodes is one arc to establish the series.
I'll check that out.
It's going to be theatrical.
Yeah, and then you'll know if you like it or not. Give it a shot.
but the Netflix Marvel stuff does not overlap with the movies,
no,
right?
No, they just always mention
no,
it.
No, they mention
I think they're canonically connected, but I don't think they will cross over.
No.
Everyone loves
I wish they would.
Do they make mention of Avengers?
Yeah,
they talk about
the incident.
So the battle in New York is the incident.
But it's not likely they're going to turn up
in
the movie.
No.
However,
they just make
I want Spider-Man to show up.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Because S.H.I.E.L.D. and the cinematic universe.
S.H.I.E.L.D. always cleans up after whatever the movies cause.
That's right.
Yeah. There's a list out there of the order you should watch things. Like, you watch these such movies, then season one of S.H.I.E.L.D., then these such movies, then season...
Oh, really?
Yeah, you look it up. If you look at the Marvel Cinematic Universe watch list in chronological order, it'll tell you what episodes to watch in between what
Is anybody
movie.
Watching S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore?
No.
That show, actually, I heard got better, but I bailed that for season one.
Watched,
what I wish they would have brought back was Agent Carter.
Yeah.
That was a great show.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. That's probably the best show that they had in their lineup.
Yep.
But that was set in the 40s and 50s. The last season
you know
was
what?
50s, right?
That was the one problem that show had. It was set in the 40s, but not good production value.
It
didn't look like the 40s. You could tell it was like something
was
designed to look
pieces?
Like the 40s.
Yeah.
When you watch something like Mad Men and you see how down to the tiniest details, and then you watch like, oh, I'm in a bare room with a rotary phone, and we have.
See, it's the 40s, 50s.
So, yeah,
we, phone.
Look, yeah.
Have you seen these
we
phones?
We don't have cell phones.
Not since the 40s or 50s.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. See that old phone? Look.
You see this Rolodex? Look at that.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
don't
look
see that anymore.
Hey, look at that. Wood furniture.
Probably 40s and 50s, right?
Wood furniture.
Yeah.
Hey, look at that, a Tiffany lamp.
Can't get that from Ikea.
I know, it's like, what, are we in the 20s now?
Yeah.
Patrick Farms, remember.
Is it Shakey's?
Yeah. Hey, listen to that, Benny Goodman, huh? How's that 40s working out for you?
You walk in the door, it must be the 40s.
Yeah. That's exactly where that show was shot. Mm. Like, there
so
was,
what was that, two seasons?
It was two seasons, they're great.
That's a shame.
They're
because
it's
the
really
writing
good.
Itself was really good. The execution could have been better.
I love it. The writing, it was. She was great, and the butler...
Jarvis.
It wasn't Jarvis. It was
original Jarvis.
Was it Jarvis?
No.
Yeah, it is Jarvis. Maybe
it's original Jarvis.
Yeah,
Jeeves.
Jarvis Prime.
Jarvis Prime. There you go. Now you're talking like a kid. So do us a favor if you can, guys, and follow us on the Twitter. We are at Soup Complex. SOUP Complex. Follow us. You can like us on Facebook. That'd be great. Facebook.com/Soup Complex. Thank you so much. SOUP Complex. And please, if you like the show, write a review on iTunes. If you don't, stay off of the iTunes and don't write a review. and again, Bird Boy Cosplay for Aaron.
Yeah.
At Bird Boy Cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
At Stupid Woman Suit, if you want to follow Emma on Twitter. At Handsome Dan Handsome. And I can be followed at Superiority. You can find us at Soup Complex. And we'll see you guys next week. So. Next week we'll be back to a normal show. No
Game of Thrones.
No Game of Thrones next week. We'll be back to talking about whatever, two or three topics.
Normal.
Rest in peace, Toby Hooper. We'll talk about Toby Hooper next week because he was a huge influence when I was growing up. One of the scariest movies I've ever seen in my life. Two of them, actually. Mm. Two of the scariest movies I've ever seen.
Mm. Poltergeist and
Texas Chainsaw Massacre. What'd you say?
Life Force.
Oh, yeah. The David Bowie vampire movie.
That was The Hunger. Life Force was the naked. Life Force was naked vampires from outer space.
Oh, love it! All right,
death took the wrong Toby.
Yeah,
wow.
Toby Maguire.
Why?
Hey.
I hate Toby.
That's the original Spider-Man. We're trying to wrap it up.
That's how we start a show.
You're wishing death on Peter Parker?
Well, good night, everybody. Kill Toby Hooper. Well, good night, everybody.
You're a terrible person. All right, guys. So
Peter Parker.
Follow us, like us, and write a review, please. We will see you next week, guys. And as always, fight the power. This transmission ends now.